Revelation 4, verse 5, and out of the throne are issuing lightnings and voices and thunders. Hi, everyone. This is Martin Zunder winding up the week here with lightnings. Get these straight. Three things I'm dishing out to you here today. Lightnings, voices, and thunders. What does that remind you of? Your childhood. No, I'm sorry to hear that. No, it's not what I was thinking of. I was thinking of Mount Sinai. Lightnings, voices, and thunders. Again, we are looking at the beginning of the judgment of God on this earth. And there's a door open in heaven. John is looking through the door, and we see the iron curtain between heaven and earth about to be torn down. Tear down this wall, Mr. Gorbachev. And so it's going to happen. The wall's going to be torn down, and lightning, and we see the beginning, the lightnings, the voices, and the thunders. This is very pregnant with judgment. But again, there's that emerald rainbow. I'm going to keep reminding you of the emerald rainbow. I see a beautiful emerald rainbow surrounding the thunders and the voices and the lightnings. But back to Mount Sinai. The people said, Moses, you go up there and talk to him. You remember that Life cereal commercial? A lot of my memories are based on cold breakfast cereal because I lived on this stuff when I was a kid. And in the Life cereal commercials, Life being one of my favorite cereals, it was always this new cereal. And the kids didn't want to try it because they were scared of it. So they said, let's give it to Mikey. He'll try it. He'll eat anything. So they give this cereal to this radical kid, this Mikey. And he eats it, and he keeps eating it, and the other kids go, he likes it. Hey, Mikey, now they want it back, but they're not going to get it back because, hey, Mikey is the forerunner. Mikey likes the cereal. They didn't want to try it. Mikey was brave. He ate it. Now it's his. I think of Moses here, believe it or not, because the people told Moses, you go up and talk to God. Give it to Moses. We don't want to talk directly to this God because he's scary. Because at the time, Israel was camped at the base of Mount Sinai, and they were looking up, and the mountain was surrounded by a dark cloud. This is what the earth is coming into. And it was there was thunders issuing out of the mountain, and there was lightning that was visible to the Israelites. Who the heck would want to go up there unless you totally trusted God? You have to totally trust God to go up to that mountain. Now, I've told you this before. I witnessed a tornado. I didn't actually see the tornado, but I was like within feet of it last May in Alabama. And I took video footage of it. You can go to my channel and you can see Alabama tornado footage. It was in the city of Bessemer, Alabama. And as I stood out, it was like 10 o'clock at night, and I was standing outside. For those of you who have heard this, bear with me. For those who have never heard it, this fits perfectly with thunders, voices, and lightning, because I've always been fascinated by violent weather. I hate the status quo. I hate gray. I hate anything that's indecisive. I'm a decisive person. I take a long time to decide. I weigh things out. I change my mind. But once I decide on a course, it's full steam ahead. So I love violent weather. I hate drippy, overcast weather that's like in Ohio or Pennsylvania. It's overcast for days and days and days. The violence I like. So it was 10 o'clock at night, and I wasn't aware that Alabama was like had severe tornadoes. So I was taking this rather lightly. And my friends were saying, come in the house. I said, no, I have to see this thing. I was fascinated. And I heard thunder like I had never heard before. And I saw flashes of lightning like I had never seen. And the wind was whipping up, and the trees were moving back and forth. And the thunder was just heartrending. It like cut your insides out, and I couldn't get enough of it, and I was in awe of it. I was enraptured by it, and I stared into the sky, and I knew I was looking into the face of God, and I trusted it, and I was willing to be consumed by it. I was so at peace in the middle of it. It was so weird to have this scary thing and yet to be at peace, because I knew I was seeing a harbinger. I was seeing a little piece of what God's indignation would be visiting the earth. And in that hour, when I was standing in the middle of that storm, I was so glad that God was my Father and that I was on His team. I was on His side. I was not on the receiving end of His wrath and His fury and His indignation, which are like jasper stone and carnelian, but yet with the rainbow of promise surrounding it. And so I felt safe and I felt protected. And I think that's how Moses could go up into that mountain. It's like when you're a kid and there's a scary room. You always have a place in your house when you were a kid that's the scariest place in your house. In my house, it was probably the basement. You know, you went down into the basement. You heard water dripping down there. It was the water softener. I realize that now. But at night, it was the scariest place to go. And when we had my friends over to spend the night, we would dare each other. Who's going to go down into the basement? This is exactly what's happening on Sinai. Who's going to go up there? Well, Moses knew the God of Israel. He was friends with him. The rest of Israel, apparently not. So he trusted God enough to go step by step closer to the thunder and the lightning and the voices. And so who does that? Who has that boldness? Well, if it's your father, then you have a trust because you trust your father. And as I was looking at that storm, I trusted my father. And to my utter regret, I went into the house literally 5 seconds before the tornado came because there was a lull and everything became quiet. This also happens in the book of Revelation. There's a stillness for 20 minutes. I think that's the time mentioned. Actually, a time mentioned. I forget what it is. Maybe it's not 20 minutes, but we're going to get there. For a brief period, it's a half an hour. Yeah. And there's this silence. And how interesting that earthly storms mirror the divine storms. That before it hits, there's a silence. And that's exactly what happened to me in Bessemer, Alabama. And I'm so upset because I should have known this from meteorological precedent and from scriptural precedent. All of a sudden, the storm seemed to be over, and I was disappointed. Like, things kind of died down a little bit. I went in the house. 5 seconds later, poof, 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 there's this thumping, and the house is falling down. What the hell's going on? The tornado's coming through, and a tree fell 2 feet from my car, giant tree, and roofs were ripped off. It was an F2. So I was excited about it. And I'm really, when you're friends with God, you have nothing to fear. That's why Abraham was a friend of God, and he went up to the mountain fearlessly. Now, I'm going to read a quote from the book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ, by A. Enoch here. And it's kind of funny. I think it's funny, but I laugh about some inappropriate things here only because I look to the end of the matter. I can see through these things. You can too if you have a trained eye. If you have a trained eye, you learn to trust God and you see that he's always bringing you to a happy outcome and that the emerald rainbow is always surrounding the throne of his judgment. These are the tokens. This is A. Enoch, the voices, the lightnings, and the thunders. He said, these are the tokens of his anger. And it's true. God is anger. But again, this is one of his assumptions. I mentioned before that I said people would accuse me of saying God lies. He doesn't lie. He just comes across different ways at different times for a purpose. It's not a lie. It's just not his true self. Jesus Christ shows us the grace of God. John 1:18, law through Moses came, but grace comes through Jesus Christ. So was God a liar when he showed himself to be this indignant, righteous, unapproachable deity? Is that his true self? No, he's actually a loving, gracious God. But he had to show us this face so that he could set up the contrast, because without the unreachable God who puts up walls between you and him, who puts walls in the temple and curtains and drapes and all these ways to hide himself without knowing how righteous he is, that people who dress wrong, if you wear the wrong colored shoes, if your shoes don't match your belt as you go into the holy place, you're struck dead. We need to know that God is that righteous so that when we hear that we have access with confidence to the throne of God in Ephesians, which is a later revelation, we can appreciate it. So God is constantly setting up these contrasts. So here's A. Enoch. These are the tokens of his anger, the ventings of his wrath. In nature, and we can learn a lesson from nature here. In nature, lightning is dangerous when it strikes, but most beneficial in its effect. We're seeing a picture of the throne and the rainbow here too. It's dangerous when it's happening, right? Because you can get killed. Trees, you can see trees that are scarred by lightning. You know what the number one cause of death is in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado and Wyoming? Number one cause of death. Well, you can probably guess in the context of this show, lightning strikes. Yeah, you probably thought it was falling off or overdosing on cliff bars. No, lightning strikes because you're up there above the tree line at 12,000 feet and you're a sitting duck for lightning bolts. You're a conductor of the lightning. And so, but the ironic thing about lightning is, and we're going to continue quoting A.E. Nock here, is that in nature, lightning is dangerous when it strikes, but most beneficial in its effect. It releases nitrogen into the air. And you notice that the grass is always greener, emerald rainbow, emerald green, grass is always greener after a severe lightning storm because the lightning releases nitrogen, and the nitrogen is good for the plants, and the plants grow, and they get greener in the aftermath of the storm. And you know how fresh that air is after a storm? That's because of negative ions. Positive ions are bad. When you're sitting in front of your computer, any electronic equipment, you have the generation of positive ions. But when you're near falling water or when lightning strikes, it generates negative ions, which ironically give you a positive mood. Positive ions give you a negative mood. Negative ions give you a positive mood. One of the marvelous, strange things in God's universe. A paradox is what I want to call it. So the lightning in its aftermath is beneficial. It's like I was telling you with the paint, the commercial I saw on paint. Yeah, I know it's not a cereal. I'm sorry, but I saw other commercials besides cereal commercials. And the paintbrush goes and everything is clean and new in its wake. And thus with this lightning. It's dangerous when it strikes, but most beneficial in its effect. The overcharged and unbalanced state of the atmosphere before a storm is very disturbing to one of nervous temperament. If you have a nervous temperament, and animals can tell when storms are coming. They get fidgety. Dogs start whining and going around in circles and pooping in places that they shouldn't. And so it's because the atmosphere is changing. And it's becoming unbalanced and overcharged. So it's disturbing to one of a nervous temperament. Or if you're like me, who does not have a nervous temperament and who actually would walk into a tornado. And I didn't care if I had gotten swept away in the tornado. I was warned again and again by people who were listening to the radio, by smart people. I was warned again and again to come in from the storm. I couldn't do it. I said, no, I'm dying to see this my whole life. I've never seen a tornado. I want to see this. And I was awestruck. I was in awe of the majesty of God. And that thing could have swallowed me whole and I would have died happy. I could have been sucked up into the vortex and strewn into a trailer park 10 miles away and been completely happy. And it's just the power of God. It reminds me of King David that said, I would rather be delivered into the hands of God than into the hands of man. So true. So true. And we see the thunders and lightnings on the earth today. We know that those are things that we can't control. We'd like to. People try to control the weather. They never will. And so the weather is the one thing that buffaloes people. And I love it when there's a crippling snowstorm. I love it. Humanity's not so smart now. You're not so cool now, are you? You're crippled. I love it when people are crippled. So you got these natural. I don't want to see people die. I don't like it when your power goes out or when people are stranded. I'm not liking that. I'm just saying, generally speaking, acts of God, as these things are called, rightly so, finally shut humanity up and make them pay attention. So the overcharged and unbalanced state of the atmosphere before a storm is very disturbing to one of a nervous temperament. And if suffered to increase would make life unbearable. What a relief after a storm has cleared the air and brought the powers of nature into balance once more. It's a relief. You breathe the air of freshness and of newness and of liberation. All things new. All things are new then. And it is worth the terror, A.E. Nock finishes here, it's worth the terror of the lightning flash and the trembling of the thunder crash to find the elements in accord again. And we're going to find the elements even more in accord after this indignation of God. And the lightning of today that you see in the atmosphere is a hint to you. God is telling us that there's indignation coming, but the aftermath, the fresh air, the good feelings, the feeling of all things being made new, this is a promise that He is going to honor. That's why you can see these things. Behold them, understand what they mean, but not be afraid of them.